I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 19. The book of Luke, chapter 19. And I'm only going to read one verse, verse number 10. Luke 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Last night, as I was walking through the parking lot to my truck, beginning to think, what am I going to preach tomorrow night? The Holy Spirit made it clear to me. Make out an outline and preach on the subject, why people must be saved. What's the reason? I didn't know how many. There could be many more. But I want to talk to you about 8 reasons you must be saved tonight. 8 reasons you must be saved tonight. Not 8 reasons you should be saved tonight, but 8 reasons you must be saved tonight. Not 8 reasons why you must get saved this year, or 8 reasons why you must get saved this month, or 8 reasons why you must get saved this week, but 8 reasons you must get saved tonight. Jesus didn't say you should. He said you must be born again. Some folks think they're pretty good people, and there are people who live good moral lives, but living a good moral life will not save you. Let's suppose that a person only sins 3 times a day. He sins in the morning, sins in the afternoon, and he sins tonight. And he lives to be 80 years old. If you calculated when he came to the age of accountability, and he lived to be 80 years old, you know how many sins that is? Around 80,000 sins. It's not enough just to quit sinning a little bit. You must be born again. So Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. All sinners are lost. If you're not saved here tonight, that means you're lost. Sick to death with sin, sabotaged by Satan, and sentenced to hell. First reason, you must be saved tonight because you're lost. You're not just going to be lost, you're already lost. Now, everybody that's in hell is lost irrevocably. They'll always be lost. But if you're lost here tonight, you can do something about that. And you must do something about that. The saddest thing in all the world is to be a lost soul. There's nothing more sadder than that. To be a lost soul, the Bible talks about the terrible darkness and tragedy of being lost. When it may be the darkest word in the human language, it may be the most distressing word in the human language. It's a word that is used several times in the Word of God. To be lost means to perish. To be lost means to be outside of Jesus. It means to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. To be lost means you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And if a person dies without the Lord as their Savior, then according to the Bible, they will perish. Did you know there's only 2 kinds of people in this whole world? Just 2 kinds of people. There's just 2 kinds of people in this service tonight. There's those who are saved and those who are lost. And when you die, you don't die wealthy or poor. You die saved or lost. When you die, You don't die educated or illiterate. You either die saved or lost. When you die, you don't die famous or a nobody. You die either saved or lost. And that's why, my friend, you need a Savior. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved. Jesus is here to seek you out and save you by his grace. What a terrible thing it is to be lost spiritually. If a person dies lost, they'll live in eternal darkness throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Friend, you can't get saved until you admit that you're lost. You can't just think you're saved. You first of all got to admit that you're lost. I remember when I was lost, and I remember some of the old songs in the Evening Light songbook, when they would sing some of them songs during invitation, it made me think. And one of them is, "Oh, come to the Savior, thou poor, weary soul. 'Tis Jesus invites thee to come. By the power of his blood, would he now make thee whole and fit thee to dwell in his home. His great loving heart beats in pity for thee. He anxiously waits for thee now. Oh, turn not away, but his bleeding hand see. They'll smooth the dark clouds from thy brow. Your time is now passing. Eternity's near. The sun hangs low o'er thy way. Oh, turn to him now. The glad gospel word hear. Oh, hasten while yet there is day. To be lost in the night, in eternity's night, to seek in despair and in woe. And such is thy doom if thou turn from the light, refusing his mercy to know. What must I do to be lost? Nothing. You're already lost. If you're not a Christian, you don't have to do one more thing to be lost. What must I do to be saved? The answer to that question is found in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Secondly, you need to be saved tonight, lest your heart becomes harder than it already is. You must be saved tonight because your heart becomes harder. We need to be saved. Our hearts are hardened by sin and by procrastination. The Holy Spirit urges today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And again, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, the deceitfulness of sin. How deceitful sin really is. Recently, there was a coach in a school in Mobile that planned to meet one of his students, 16-year-old girl, after school. And so they did. And guess what? He got caught. You know why the devil, you know why sin's deceitful? Because the devil says, yes, I know most people that do this get caught, but you won't get caught. Amen. Amen. The devil had to convince him, you can get by, you won't get caught, but be sure your sins will find you out. And now he's facing up to 10 or 15 years in prison. Think about that. How deceitful sin is. For 10 or 15 minutes of pleasure he's going to have to sit in prison for 10 or 15 years to think about what he did. One reason the great majority of all those who ever get saved in their childhood is because a young person, a child, has the advantage of a tender heart, a tender conscience that grieves over sin. A child, many times, a young person is easily moved by the fear of punishment. He knows it's dangerous to go on in sin. Only by resisting the Spirit of God and continuing in willful sin, rejecting Christ, is the heart hardened. The days and the weeks and the months and years go by. Yes, my friend, and the heart becomes harder. The conscience becomes dulled. The perception of right and wrong is becoming inaccurate and faded. Delay in salvation means a hardened heart. Only then to hear the call of the Holy Spirit and be saved. Today, not tomorrow, but today, tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because listen, friend, to continue in this rebellion, this ungodly resistance, this self-will in delaying your salvation is a deadly sin that will have blasting and damning effects on your heart. The danger of a hardened heart warns you, be saved tonight. Every blatant infidel was once a tender-hearted child who may have trembled at the thought of his sin and of the judgment. But delay hardened his heart. Every drunkard was once a pure, innocent child, loved by their parents with a promising future. The years of sin hardened their sensibilities, made them ignore their duties to their family, to their self, and to God. Think about it. Every harlot was once a sweet little girl, precious and gentle, with holy possibilities. But sin, unrebuked in the heart and life, sin unrepented of, along with the passing days, dulled the pains of the conscience and led to indifference about holy matters. Oh, the danger tonight of a hardened heart. Oh, that much to be feared calamity of hardening your heart. When God says today, and you say tomorrow, the danger of a hardened heart impels honest thinking people to be saved while they still can. Every sin that you have ever done is recorded. To reject God, my friend, is the greatest sin that you commit. Third thing, you must be saved tonight because Christ is coming. I don't know when he's coming, but as Brother Barrels was saying a while ago, Jesus is coming. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. These churches that don't believe in shouting is going to be surprised when Jesus comes. Because he's coming back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And these folks that don't believe in music, they're going to be surprised when the Lord comes back. Yes, my friend, he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain to the coming of the Son of the Lord shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be the Lord. What a day that's going to be. And listen, friend, no man knows the day. No man knows the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So that means we got to get ready, because I don't know when he's coming and you don't know when he's coming. So we got to be ready. That's why you must get saved tonight, because Jesus could come. Next, you must get saved tonight because you are under the wrath of God. That's your problem. Right now, you ought to fear, because you're under the wrath of God. And I believe that God so loved the world. I believe that message. I believe God loves the sinner. But you know what? We got a lot of lovey-dovey stuff going on. I believe we ought to talk about the judgment of God more. The wrath of God. The severity of God. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost, and Peter didn't mention love one time. In fact, did you know the word love is not found in the entire book of Acts? What did Peter preach? He preached judgment. What did Paul preach to Agrippa? Judgment. What did Paul preach to Felix? Judgment. That's the message. And friend, you're under the wrath of God. Listen, Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Listen to what the Bible says in St. John, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Sinner friend, because you haven't repented, the wrath of God is abiding on you. But when you get saved, God's wrath is turned away. Next, you need and you must be saved tonight because you're already condemned. You don't have to wait to get to the judgment to find out that you're condemned. You're already condemned. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. That's the child of God. We're not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Those who have already believed, they're not condemned. But what he say? But he that believeth not is condemned already. You're condemned already because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. It's not the one who dies without Christ that'll be condemned only, but those who are without Christ right now are condemned. The anger of God abides, stays on every unbelieving Christ rejecting sinner. If you have not believed in Christ, that is, if you have not repented, if you have not placed faith in the Son of God, if you have not been born again, then the wrath of God is abiding on you right now. And if I was you tonight, I'd get out from underneath the wrath of God. What a terrible truth. God's anger mounts up every day, all the day, and he never forgets the insult you do to him. God never for a moment is pleased with you when you reject him. The Bible says in Psalms, the 7th chapter, verse number 11, God judges the righteous and he's angry with the sinner every day. Angry with the sinner. You can get out from underneath that anger by being saved by the grace of God. Next, you must be saved tonight because you could die tonight. You must get saved tonight because you could die tonight. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man was to die. You got an appointment. I got an appointment. I don't know when God's going to call for me. You don't know when God's going to call for you. So we got to get ready for the appointment. If we die without God, if we die without his salvation, we will meet the same fate that the rich man met in Luke the 16th chapter. We need a savior to rescue us from the fate that's literally worse than death. Human life is like a vapor. Your life and my life is like a vapor. It's just here for a little while and it vanishes away. Man's life is like the fog in the valley, which under the sun soon fades away. Your life, which seems to be so well established, so important, the Bible says it's like a blade of grass. It can be plucked up any moment of the day. It may be crushed under the heel or blown away. How fragile, how uncertain our life is tonight. Every day people die unexpectedly. The old die, the young die, the sick die, the well die. Life is but a vapor. Your hold on life is insecure. So I urge you, be saved tonight. Somebody said, I'm going to, I will, someday I will. And that's why the Bible said in Proverbs 27 and verse number 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Amen. Death marks the final separation between the saved and the lost. Once in heaven, always in heaven. Once in hell, always in hell. Amen. Next, you must be saved tonight because you're not prepared for the judgment center. So you must get saved tonight so you can be prepared for the judgment, because that's the next thing. After death comes the judgment. Yes, you got an appointment with God Almighty. You're going to have an interview with God. And you're going to keep the appointment. You're not going to cancel this appointment. You're not going to put off this appointment. One of these days, you're going to be standing in the Supreme Court of Heaven. It's truly a court of no appeal. This court that you're headed towards, this court that you're going to go to, friend, it's different than any other court in the history of the world. Because this court, there's really no attorneys. There's no jury. There's no debating going on. It's simply the judge and you. A sinner on that day will not qualify for a defense attorney. This Supreme Court, it's the Supreme Court of the universe. You must get saved tonight, because you're in grave danger of going to hell tonight. You're in grave danger of going to hell tonight. Hell is for real. Hell is literal. Hell is eternal. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Once you're there forever. There's no escape. These, our Lord says, will go away into eternal or everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. I don't want nothing between me and God, do you? Amen. Nothing between me and the Savior. Both of these words, eternal, are identical. They're the same original word in the original language. So if hell isn't eternal, then heaven's not eternal. Those who go away, he said, into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And if there's eternal life, then there's eternal punishment. Because it's taught in the same chapter. It's taught in the same verse. If you get rid of hell, you got to get rid of heaven. You were created an eternal being, all of us. You're going to be in heaven or hell throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And hell is horrible. That word torment grabs our attention, doesn't it? Because we don't like pain. We don't like torment. But here's the good news. Hell is avoidable. Everyone that's in hell right now could have avoided hell. And you that's here, if you end up in hell, I pray that you won't. But if you do, you're going to look back and say, that night, as well as many other nights, I could have avoided this. Eternal separation. Hell means separation. Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. There are many roads that lead to hell, but there's not one road that leads to hell. In one sense, every sinner goes to hell on the road of his own sinful choices. Any sin and every sin creates a road that arrives in hell. You can go on the road of pride. You can go to hell as a self-righteous religious leader. Or you can go to hell like Adolf Hitler. On the other hand, there's just one way to escape hell. And that's through Jesus Christ. By being saved, you can escape hell. Jesus rescues from the wrath to come. The message of the scripture is salvation is a rescue from a real place called hell. Now, because of God's wrath on all who reject Christ, you're urged to be saved tonight. Tonight is the day that you need to get saved. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. 1 Thessalonians, verse chapter, verse number 10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from wrath to come. Glory be to God. Church, we have been delivered from wrath to come. But if you're not saved, you've not been delivered yet. The amazing thing is just how much trouble God went to keep you out of hell. God paid a great price to keep you out of hell. He gave up his son. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price to keep you out of hell. No matter what you've done, God does not want you to go to hell. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died so you and I would not have to go to this horrible place. Thank God there's an alternative to going to hell. Thank God for that. And those that have rejected Christ will be in eternity throughout the ceaseless age of eternity. Those who have accepted him will be in heaven. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That rich man that died without God in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments and he cried. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. If you go to hell, you will go knowing what lies in store because you made a choice. I know people say, well, God couldn't be loving and allow men and women, boys and girls, to go to hell. Listen, God loves you so much that he allows you to make your choice of where you're going to be in eternity. I beg you, don't go to hell. Be saved. Agree with God that you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from God. Repent tonight. Accept his work on the cross as a complete answer for your sins. Surrender your life to him. Amen. And when you do, don't ever look back. D.L. Moody tells a story. After he preached a sermon one night, a man emerging from a saloon, getting on his horse, asked a deacon from the church, how far is it to hell? How far is it to hell? You ever think about that? How far is it from here to hell? And the deacon didn't know how to answer it. And the man rode off on his horse. And he turned and walked the other way. And he heard a calamity. And he turned and he looked, and the horse had reared up and bucked the man off and broke his neck and died right there. And for this man, the answer to the question, how far is hell? Not very far at all. Hell is not very far at all away from you if you're not saved. It's not far at all. It could be right around the corner. Where is hell? Where is it? I'd like to know the location. I'll tell you the location. It's at the end of a sinner's life. It'll be there waiting on you.